This is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Melinda Skelton's Atlanta Living, sponsored by Vane Innovations.
And a happy New Year's Eve to you folks. This is your Atlanta Living New Year's Eve edition of the show, and we're going to just absolutely blow it out. I know the weather's kind of icky, but listen, it's all happy and warm and bubbly in the studio here. I have Craig Torres, who owns Hop City, and your locations now are where, Craig?
Well, we have three right now. We have the one, what I call the OG, if you will, over on the west side, 1000 Marietta Street, where Marietta Street meets Howl Mill, and then, of course, we also have our Krog Street location over at Krog Street Market. We're having a heck of a time over there.
Oh, yeah.
The food's great. The neighbors are fantastic. And my guests there are fantastic, too. And then our third store is over in Birmingham, Alabama. So I'm wearing my red shirt, not saying I'm supporting one side or the other in today's Peach Bowl, but I don't have a store in Washington State. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh. You've said it all right there. And we have Nick Purdy with Wild Heaven Brewery in Decatur.
How you doing?
Good. And you have brought some great beer with you today. And one of my favorites is what?
I think you like the emergency drinking beer.
I like the... Listen, it's a bright yellow can, simple, with black writing, and it says emergency beer drinking. Or emergency...
Drinking beer.
Emergency beer, drinking beer.
It's based off of an old, like World War II U.S. Army ration
surplus,
can.
It
just said emergency drinking water, and we just picked up the design from that.
I mean, every refrigerator needs to have one of those in it. So you go by and get it from Wild Heaven. And I haven't really had that much. So, and J.P. Watts, one of my locals here in my side of the hood, from Scofflaw Brewing. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And you just opened back in the spring.
In the fall.
In the fall?
The end of July, 1st of August.
Okay. And you're going gangbusters.
It's going well, yeah.
And you gave a tour to a group of us about how you actually brewed your beer and what went into actually brewing beer, and I was amazed.
Good. Yeah, we like to... I mean, I guess maybe because we're new, we're so eager, so we like to share our story with the people on a tour. So we probably drag our tours on a little bit more than other breweries I've been to. But yeah, we do that, you know, so people enjoy our tours because of that, I'm sure.
Well, it's part passion, yeah. Part chemistry, biology. I mean, it's unreal what goes into a can or a bottle of beer.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, Nick can speak on that, too. And when I first got into beer, I didn't realize. I was like, yeah, beer, you just throw some stuff together and you got alcohol. And then I remember I first visited Sierra Nevada years ago and just was amazed at how many people they had there with doctorates, you know, scientists working there, you know. So it takes a lot of science to go into good beer.
It's the perfect marriage of art and science.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so Craig Torres, in the metro area, per se, how many breweries do we have in the metro area now?
At last count, and if I'm forgetting anybody, I apologize, but we have 17 metro area
Good
breweries.
Good grief.
And statewide, we're actually pushing 50 breweries this year, which is fantastic. I will say, as a beer year, 2016 was a little slow. We only added...
Really?
Can you believe it? Four official breweries and a cidery.
Well, year before was a huge year.
Oh, yeah. We opened quite a few in 2000, both 14 and 15, saw quite a few breweries join the ranks. This past year, Scofflaw obviously being one of those.
Right.
We're thrilled to have them for 2016. Congratulations. Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year.
Congrats.
And I'm really excited about, it's funny to really, to call Nick the old guard, because really they haven't been around that long, 5-6 years. But, you know, he's the fifth oldest operating brewery in the state of Georgia now. So that kind of makes him, you know, sort of the granddaddy, if you will, of the recent craft beer momentum.
Granddaddy of the new kids.
Exactly.
Granddaddy.
He's the oldest
kids.
Of the new kids.
Okay, so how have the laws...
Uncle Nick, I like it.
How have the laws changed as far as craft brew and what you're having to go through to produce it?
Well, it's funny you say. I'm gonna throw this over to Nick, who's very active in legislation and trying to get the laws changed. Ironically, nothing officially changed in 2016. However, we did see the implementation of something that really went into effect in 2015, and we ran into some enforcement issues in 2015.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but we really saw 2016, to me, was a landmark year for Georgia brewing.
Well, I mean, the main thing to know about breweries in Georgia is we are the only breweries in the entire country that are not allowed to sell the product that we make to people that walk in our doors.
So
only
if I'm
business-friendly
a
Georgia.
Tour of your brewery, I can't walk out with a 12-pack.
Well, technically, no, you actually can't. You can walk out with a 6-pack, up to 72 ounces, which equals a 6-pack.
Okay.
But you're not buying the beer. You're buying a tour. And the law says this explicitly. When we give you beer to drink at the brewery, we're giving you free beer.
Okay.
You paid for the tour.
Okay.
When you take beer to go, that is even defined as a to-go tour. And I'm giving you major air quotes
yes,
on that.
Yes, you are.
Where? I didn't see them.
Okay. So can you say I'm from out of town and I really love your beer and I can't get your beer in my town. Can you mail me?
Absolutely not. Totally illegal.
Nor can I, ironically, as a retailer. In fact, it's illegal in Georgia for you to receive or send beer, any alcohol. You can do wine up to a case a year. You cannot do beer or liquor.
Wow.
So we operate under some constraints.
Yes, you do. Folks, if you have questions about beer and the constraints that we're operating under, but we're also doing a great job with what we have, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Our next hour will be all about wine, and we'll do the profiling then. But right now, this half hour is all about beer. And we're going to be telling you the beers that you need to be drinking if you are drinking tonight.
Absolutely. I do have a couple of New Year's favorites for those people who want to celebrate in a beer
kind
of way.
Yeah, what would be a beer that's kind of a celebratory beer?
So I'm going to give you three great options, two of them sitting here at my table. But I'm going to lead off with my favorite, we call them re-fermented beers, things that actually pop in the bottle, much like you would a champagne. So Deus is a classic Belgian choice. It is champagne re-fermented, so they actually put champagne yeast in that bottle and allow it
but
to re-ferment.
But it's a beer.
It is a beer. That said, if you open it at a party, it will pop open much like a bottle of sparkling wine will.
So is it going to taste like a beer or is it going to taste like champagne?
Well, I'd like to think you can have your cake and eat it too. It will it'll taste...
I like you, Craig.
It will be sparkling. It'll be effervescent, fizzy, and it will have a distinct taste of Belgian yeast. So I often describe that as maybe clove or bubble gum. But it's very dry. It's not really a sweet beer at all. So you will think, if you closed your eyes, you would think you were drinking a sparkling wine.
Okay, have we tried that yet?
We haven't. We haven't tried that yet. I'll have to bring
that
on.
You're just sitting there yapping your gums while we're talking about it.
Now, Belinda, I did bring an awful lot of beer and wine to drink today.
Yes,
so
you did.
You will not want for anything today.
Yes, you did. Okay, what are some of the others that we're trying?
So one of the beers that I'll be drinking tonight, God willing, will be the Invocation from our friends at Wild Heaven. It is a Belgian-style golden ale. It is light in the glass. In fact, that was our warm-up, our radio warm-up beer
said,
today.
Laid in the glass?
Light in the glass. It's light in complexion. In fact, I'm holding it up right now. It is, I would describe that as somewhat straw-colored. And it also has a little bit of additional carbonation. It is just absolutely delicious. It's on the sweeter side of beer, I would say, but it's not heavy at all.
I taste some honey.
You can taste whatever you want, and you are not wrong. But there's no honey in the beer.
Okay. Okay. Now, when you come up with the flavor profiles that you want to hit on, how does this happen? Because, I mean, people may taste things that, like you said, that aren't in there, and you're like, okay,
Yep. Weird,
go for it.
You know, beer is a food product. It's different than wine in that way because, you know, you cook the grain and you add hops, which are a flour, actually. You can add fruits, spices. The yeast itself is a deep part of the character. So, yeah, it's imagine making soup and you can kind of just go any direction you want. When somebody says to me, I don't really like beer, I'm thinking, nah, you do, actually, because you like food. You've just been exposed to a very narrow slice of what beer can be. We're going to show you a few other things. And almost invariably, somebody goes, oh, well, I like this, when you take them into a new place.
Okay. Have you before set out to have one flavor profile that you're making, and by the time you're at the end, it's not at all what you started out as?
Not so much. You definitely learn things through test batching, and then you might change a little bit, you know, what you might want it to do. You might switch out an ingredient because one acted maybe in a way that you didn't expect.
Okay.
But generally, you know where you're going.
Okay. That sounds good. So did you just pour a little of the...
Well, I poured a little bit of my my second recommendation for this evening.
Okay, and okay. What is that?
So I'm a big fan of contrast, you know, the yin and yang, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So my other beer, my second beer for New Year's today, is going to be a brand new can offering from our friends at Scofflaw, and that's going to be their Interrogation Coffee Milk Stout. Now,
pass it down, please.
All right, here we go.
Okay,
sorry.
What's the name of it again?
It's the Interrogation, and it is a milk stout is one of my favorite styles. So we put when I say we, I mean the brewing community puts milk sugar in that beer, wow. Lactose, and that lactose is a non-fermentable sugar, so it ends up staying behind in the beer instead of fermenting out in the okay. in the fermentation
I'm
process.
I'm gonna try it. Do I slurp it like wine?
Yes, you have to. So lactose leaves behind a really fun sweetness to the beer.
It does.
It definitely
tastes a lot of coffee.
It does.
Undertones.
So picture that as literally coffee with cream in your beer. Yeah. So it is a dark beer, but it's not heavy by any stretch of the imagination.
And I love the can. This is how I'm such a girl. This is how I pick out my beers. Oh, cute label.
So JP, tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah. Yeah, this is we wanted to do like a stout, but try to do something a little bit different. So coffee seems to be a big rage. So we decided to get some local coffee and we actually make the beer through the whole process and then cold steep it like a cold brew coffee for 4 days, 1 pound of coffee per barrel.
Wow.
So I always like to think it drinks like cold brew coffee.
I would agree with that.
A little bit lighter body for a stout, like you're not getting as much yeah. full body.
Any caffeine in this?
I don't know.
I would imagine technically there is some caffeine in that. I wouldn't think it's a lot, though.
No.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Jeff in Peachtree City. You're listening to Atlanta Living, Oleo News 99.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to the Saturday New Year's Eve edition of Atlanta Living. And I couldn't be more happier to usher this year out, kick it to the curb, and usher 2017 in. I'm ready to see 2016 go. Let's go back to the phone lines. We are talking beer and wine and the beers for this hour that you need to be drinking for New Year's Eve. And this is Jeff in Peachtree City. Jeff, you're on WSB. How are you tonight, sweetheart?
I'm fine, Belinda. I just want to say I've been listening to you since the early days of you, Neil, and Royal.
Oh,
thank
you.
It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, you too, sweetheart. Glad you called in today. Okay, how can the guys help you?
So I've been to Belgium and have had a lot of full-bodied ales and have been to England and a lot of full-bodied bitter and have had a lot of full-bodied beer in the U.S. And I'm wondering what makes something one and not the other.
So that's a great question, and so there's a lot of labels in the beer world. Some of them are fair, some of them are not fair. Some of them are legally required, as we were talking before the show about how every can or bottle of beer in the United States has to say one of three things, lager, ale, or beer. But the truth of the matter is beer is sort of an all-encompassing word. Any of the beverages that you just mentioned, they're all going to be considered beer. Ales, specifically, are going to be those that are top fermented. So it's really about the yeast that goes into that beer. And then in contrast, lagers are going to be bottom fermented. So while the actual taste of those may sometimes blend together, typically lagers tend to be a little lighter and a little crisper. Ales can really be almost anything at all, anything you want them to be. And now a bitter is a very specific kind of English-style beer. And it tends to be characterized by a little bit of amber color in the glass. It can be anywhere from golden to amber. And they tend to have a little bit of hop profile, but not nearly the hop profile that we're used to in this country when we talk about, say, an IPA.
That's all perfectly accurate. Well done.
Well, thanks. It's almost like I do this for a living.
Yes. Yeah. Does that explain it well enough for you, Jeff?
It does. Thanks for clearing that up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got it. Now, I will say, and Jeff, I'm glad you brought this up. I think one of the underserved categories in this country is the English-style bitter. I would say We used to see beers like that here. Something like Pete Wicked Ale was a good example of a great English-style bitter. Of course, they're out of business now. And I kind of miss that style, and I would love to see one of my brewing friends here at the table one day bring back a bitter.
Without giving too much away, I can tell you that that is a style we're thinking very hard about right now. We agree.
I think you gave it away.
Oops. If you're ever over in England, look for Flowers, the brand Flowers, if you really want a full-bodied, knock-you-off-your-stool pint.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Jeff, and thanks for your continued listening. It's 27 minutes after 1 o'clock, and we are having a great time here in the studio. We are talking beer and wine, and this hour we're talking the beers that you need to be drinking for your New Year's Eve. And coming up soon, we're going to be switching gears to the wines that you need to be drinking on New Year's Eve. And then we're going to be doing our wine typing with our Wine Jedi, and that is Listen, you're the Wine Jedi.
That's me.
Greg, it's you.
That's where you call in and tell the Wine Jedi how you take your tea or coffee in the morning, and he picks out the most suited bottle of wine for you per your taste. And it's very popular. So if you want to start thinking about that and jump on the line at 404-872-0750, that's 404-872-0750. You can reach me at WSB Belinda and on my website at belindaskelton.com. We'll be back with more Atlanta Living right after this.
WSB, depend on it.
Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living, sponsored by Vane Innovations.
And we're doing some good living today on Atlanta Living. This is our New Year's Eve edition, and we are getting you ready as far as beer and wine goes to celebrate and ring in the new year tonight. And we're talking beer. This is our last segment with the beer guys, Nick Purdy with Wild Heaven in Decatur, and JP Watts, my neighbor, Scofflaw Brewing, and Craig Torres, he's the glue that holds everything together, with Hop City. And you have three locations right now.
We do, yeah. Alabama, and then two here in really in town Atlanta.
Okay. Anything else on the horizon?
Well, maybe.
Well, yeah, spill the beans.
We are opening our brand new adventure up in Avalon, in Alpharetta.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's going to open April 13th of this year. And so that's really all I've been working on lately, almost nonstop. It's going to be called Barley Garden, and it's going to be a...
Barley Garden.
Barley. Like the beer ingredient. Yep.
Get it.
And so it's going to be both a restaurant and a beer bar. So we want you to come up and see us when spring arrives. And I think you're going to find both a lot of Wild Heaven and Scofflaw on track.
The OTP crowd is very thirsty. You will do great.
It'll be our first adventure in Atlanta, at least outside the perimeter, and we're really excited about it.
Now, remember, I was with you when you were just wee little Craig. Don't forget the little people.
I'm still pretty wee. You know, I'm just 5'8", so I mean, I haven't grown any, unfortunately.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We're talking beer with Charlie in Loganville. Charlie, you're on WSB. How are you today?
I'm great. It's awesome to be talking about one of my favorite activities. I love the explosion for the craft beer scene, especially here in Atlanta. But my question is this, like seasonals. I love the seasonals, and then they're gone. And then I have to wait a whole another year to see them. Like Hop City, will they be carrying seasonals maybe longer than the breweries do?
Well, that's a great question. Now, I think some of the glory behind a seasonal is the fact that you can only get it once a year. I love the idea of having a winter beer that I like, you know. I hear Nick makes one that's really good.
We make our Ode to Mercy special winter ale, and every year when we make it, we're like, oh, we should make this all year. So we're right with you, but then we don't, because we got
to
keep it special.
I love the Ode to Mercy.
Right. Yeah, the Ode to Mercy winter is great. I had one on Christmas Day because it's so good and it's really holiday appropriate. But that said, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So I think you're more likely to go back and repeat by that same beer, or maybe two or three of them, if you know you're only going to have one shot at it a year. And I think
agreed,
a lot of breweries have figured that out along the way.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love that time of year where you get to buy your first six-pack of Sierra Nevada Celebration, which I bet you guys have both been doing for a long time like I have.
Is that a new beer?
No, it is not.
I mean, I'm kidding. Yeah.
There's some old ones that are good, Craig. It's not all about the latest thing.
I'm teasing. I have some in my fridge.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good one. I look forward to that time of year every year for that one.
Exactly. So that to answer your question, I think that's we try to buy a fair amount of those beers to keep them around maybe a hair longer than you might see them elsewhere. But we agree that's really part of the seasonal fun is just having them around for a limited amount of time.
It's great. I love what you guys are doing again. Thanks for taking my call. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, prost, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, prost indeed.
All right, guys. Nick, you're stranded on a desert island.
Yes, ma'am.
You can only drink one beer the rest of your life.
Wow. That is a tough question, which I have answered before.
Oh, I thought it was original.
I have not revised my answer, though I think I probably would if I had time to think about it. But I'll tell you what's been my answer for a long time. It's a beer called Le Fin du Monde, and it's made by a brewery in Canada called Unibrew. And what I love about Le Fin du Monde, which is a Belgian golden similar to the invocation of ours that we tasted earlier, is it's big and it's light and it's effervescent and it's meaty. It's hoppy and it's not too hoppy. It's like that beer for whatever reason hits this magic sweet spot of everything all at once. So that's why I'm like, I could actually drink this kind of forever.
Okay. Craig, I know that your mind is reeling. I've narrowed you down to one.
Yes. I often say my favorite beer is the one I'm drinking now.
Amen to that.
But that said, I have answered that question before, and I think my answer is going to remain the same, and that is Allagash Curio. Geographically nearby our friends at Unibrew, but it's over in Maine, Portland, Maine. And Rob Todd is probably, no offense to my friends at Wild Heaven, the greatest Belgian-style beer maker in America.
We would agree.
And he is so this is a Belgian-style Tripel, aged in bourbon barrels. So you get a lot of that fun vanilla woodsiness that you want out of a good bourbon barrel beer. But again, powerful and light, I think, is the key. And I think Nick hit that on the head.
Okay. Cool. All right, JP.
I think my answer is a little odd because people who have had an opportunity to sample or to get to know Scofflaw know we brew IPAs. We've run 13 beers, and 9 of them are hoppy IPAs or pale ales or doubles. But it's just something about Chimay Blue. It's a Belgian quad. It's always been really, I love that beer. We don't make Belgian beers, but that's one that is really, really good for me.
It's an all-timer.
Yeah, it is a great beer.
Craig, have you popped the one that you said that had the beer that had a little champagne in it?
The Deus, I have not here on your show, but I'll have to bring that in another day.
Oh, so we were talking about it and... But you didn't bring it.
I didn't bring that one, only because I brought... Well, you have to understand, Belinda, we've already been drinking in the studio for about 45 minutes, and we have another 45 minutes to go.
Okay.
And I haven't even touched the wine stuff, and I have a couple bottles of bubbly on the table and a Riesling because I know you love it.
It just sounded so intriguing. I just wanted to try it. That's all right.
It is in my fridge now for New Year's Eve, and it is something I do almost every year because it is a good counterpoint to the champagne that may elsewhere be featured. If it's okay, Belinda, I'd love to talk about some of the other new breweries that have popped onto the scene this year. I'm very excited about Abbey the Holy Goats. They are up in Roswell. I know, right? It's a funny name.
I love the names of these breweries.
They specialize in Belgian beer as well. And I think it's interesting to note that everyone who brews beer for Abbey of the Holy Goats is a female. And while that should not be noteworthy, I think it is.
It is. And it's also the first and only female-owned brewery in Georgia, which is also really important.
I agree completely. And so we love to support them, and I think they're making some great, interesting beer. They already have a barrel aging program, and I think we're going to see some of that come out in 2017, and I'm pretty excited. Arches down in Hapeville, they're over by the airport. They're making, they do a lot of lagers. They do a Pilsner and the one called the Unseasonable Lager, which I really like. It's really clean. But we really haven't seen anything outside of the Pilsner category typically in Georgia. So it's fun to see somebody who focuses on lagers. And so they're worth noting, and I think you should go check them out. We already talked about Scofflaw quite a bit. I'm so excited. So Travis, who works on your team and owns the place with you, right, JP? He spent a lot of years working out in California, in Santa Rosa.
Yep.
Tell me some about that.
Well, we were fortunate when Matt, who's our owner, we decided to get into the brewing business after spending years in the retail side, we knew neither one of us brewed. We just had a passion for beer. So we said, let's find the right brewer. You know, we want to do wild ales, barrel aged beers, and IPAs. So through a mutual friend, we met Travis Herman, who was working at Russian River at the time. And we're lucky enough to sucker him into moving to Georgia, I guess, you know. So, and it's been good so far. We've got two of the three boxes checked off. We haven't started a wild ale program yet, but it's in the future.
Very cool. So another new one this year has been Left Nut Brewing out of Gainesville. It's unfortunately named,
but the Left Nut.
But the beer is very good, and we're excited. They're sort of a jack of all trades, if you will. So they do an amber and a pale ale and an IPA, and I would say the usual suspects, if you will. But they do it very well. And then lastly, here in it, we mentioned this briefly, Urban Tree Cidery, over on the west side as well. Really, right up the street from Monday Night.
Right.
They're sourcing all their apples from the Mercier Orchards, and they're
near
doing
my house, my hometown house.
Indeed. Georgia grown apples, but made locally here in Atlanta, and they're very much worth checking out over on Hell Mill. Couple other developments this year. We're seeing an increased focus on sour beers and barrel aged beers. So if you have not heard, the Woodlands is opening next week. It's the new Sweetwater project. They put a humongous expansion on their brewery, which was already pretty big to start with. And it's just an absolute beautiful, really impressive facility. Six fooders, which are humongous sort of wooden tanks. And so they're going to be making sour and just other barrel-aged beers out of those. And they have tons of other barrels, specialty barrels in there. If you want to get married in 2017 in a brewery setting and don't feel like seeing my friends at Wild Heaven or Scofflaw, you should definitely check out Sweetwater. They have a tap room in this new Woodlands facility that is devoted to these specialty beers.
Oh, wow.
It's very impressive. It's Freddie's really outdone himself this time. And then Monday Night Brewery is opening a new facility over on the West Side Beltline. And that's going to be also focused on barrel-aged products. That's probably not going to open in 2017, but I know they've started construction already, so that's pretty exciting. And then I think lastly, you guys hear about Mitch Steele's new project?
Yes, we have.
Okay, so Mitch Steele is he's the brewmaster over at Stone, or at least he's been responsible for quite a few of their beers, Stone being one of the preeminent sort of, we'll call it, aggressive beer makers in America. So he plans to open a new brewery on the Beltline. And I don't think he's broken ground on that, but that's pretty exciting news that somebody who's that famous in the beer world is actually chosen Georgia for his next project.
He literally wrote the book on IPAs for the Brewers Association. So, yeah, that's a pretty big deal. When he just announced he was moving here, people were like, what? Atlanta? It was awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
It's definitely exciting, man.
It puts us on the map in a big way. So,
well, see, I think it's neat that y'all are excited when more competition comes into the mix.
Well, I think it's interesting to note that despite all the growth we've seen, we're still only 48th in this country per capita in terms of breweries. So is that near the bottom?
Oh, it's pretty close to the bottom. We still have about 50 states for the time being.
Yes, unless Puerto Rico adds, that puts us near the bottom. So we have
Atlanta still has room to grow for more breweries to come into the city.
Oh, tons more.
Yeah.
Blendy, you know why we love new breweries?
Why?
It is because at the end of the day, craft beer is still this fast-growing part of a much bigger beer market. And most Americans have still only ever had a Bud, a Miller, or a Coors, and they've never had a craft beer. If you said the phrase IPA to the average American, they don't even know you mean beer. For us, it's like the center of our life. Mm-hmm. So every day that another brewery comes out, we're converting more people.
Excellent. And this concludes our segment on beer, and we're going to switch gears to wine. So, Nick Purdy with Wild Heaven, where can people go if they want more information on your brewery?
WildHeavenBeer.com and any of the socials at Beer Wild Heaven.
All right. And J.P. Watts, how about Scofflaw Brewing?
ScofflawBrewing.com and then Scofflaw Brewing on all the social medias, Instagram.
Is it a goat?
It is a goat, yes.
I won the bet earlier. It is a goat.
It is a goat.
Okay, great. All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living. When we come back, we're going to be talking about wine that you should be drinking in the next few hours for New Year's Eve party. Stay tuned. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. And this half hour, we're going to be talking about wine and doing a wine typing for you. So the way this works, and so I want you to go ahead and start getting on the line, is you call in and tell us how you take your coffee and tea in the morning. Whether you take your coffee with maybe a little honey, a little sugar, or totally black, or you put stevia in it. However you take it, maybe you take your tea in the morning and you put a little sugar, you put a little stevia in that. And then our Jedi, Craig Torres, is going to type you with the perfect glass or bottle of wine. And I've never, ever seen him miss the mark. So lots of pressure on you. But you do have some wines that, while people get on the line, and that's 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. People that say, I just haven't found that perfect bottle of wine for me. Or they've been drinking the same bottle of wine over and over and over. They need to branch out and find something new. This is perfect for them. So 404-872-0750. So, but you do have some great bottles to recommend just in general to drink on New Year's Eve.
Absolutely. So we obviously we associate New Year's Eve with sparkling wine, as
yes.
we should. And I know that's what we'll be opening one of those tonight, too. Even in addition to the day use, I didn't bring the beer. But I did bring today to the studio a couple of my favorite under $20 bottles of bubbly for New Year's.
Mm-hmm. One of those I see I buy all the time. It's so if you've given your sanctions over it and blessed it, I'm good with it.
Yes. So so the La Marca Prosecco is one of those. It's I can't speak for it everywhere, but at Hop City that's $11.99 a bottle. So it's inexpensive, and so Prosecco, as I'm sure some people know, some people might not know, it is sparkling wine. So champagne, which is the word we most frequently use, is actually specifically a region in France. And if you're not growing your grapes and producing your wine there in that region of Champagne, you really can't call your sparkling wine champagne. So Prosecco is actually made slightly differently. We can talk about that if we want to get wonky with it. But yes, bubbly out of Italy.
And it's delicious.
It is. And
does it have more sugar in it?
Typically, Proseccos tend to be, because they're a little younger, they don't ferment quite as long, they tend to be a little sweeter.
Oh, great. More sugar. Okay, you're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB with Craig Torres with Hop City. We'll be back with more of your wine choices for New Year's Eve right after this.